Dealing with expensing and receipts for your business in or outside of Hong Kong. Welcome to Global from Asia, number 83.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Hope everyone had a great May Day holiday, and welcome to Global from Asia, episode number 83. For those not familiar, May 1st is a public holiday here in China. It's the Chinese National Labor Day. That's both in Hong Kong and in mainland China, as well as many other places around the world. So the pool finally opened in my apartment complex on May Day, and I may have to take a swim in there one of these days, but I'm going to keep seeing it full of jam-packed with kids, so I might have to wait until it's a quieter time to go in the pool, but that day may never come. So now on today's show, we're going to be talking about dealing with receipts and invoices for your business. I know this can sound really dry, but I think it's a stressful and requested topic business owners have been talking about, and they need to know what to do in this situation. I want to also give a shout-out to Rene Jarive. He is a regular listener, and he supported me by buying my Hong Kong Business Supercharged guidebook. So thanks again for that. And in emails, we were chatting and he suggested that we get a receipt bank on the show. He actually met some of the team at a co-working space randomly, and he uses a service, and he got me in touch with Michael Wood, the founder of Receipt Bank Company, to give us some tips and tricks on dealing with receipts. Also, if you go to the show notes on globalfromasia.com/episode83, I'm going to have a downloadable PDF of some Hong Kong government websites and clips about the policy for paper or paperless with a Hong Kong limited company. Because Michael, you know, he gives us some general advice and tips about governments, but I know some people want some specific. So check out the website for that if you want to download that. So now let's go on to the show. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to a Global from Asia podcast. We have with us Michael Wood from Receipt Bank. Thanks for being here, Michael.
Mike, hi. Thank you for having me.
Sure, sure. So I'm excited. A lot of our listeners, you know, we're small business entrepreneurs, solo entrepreneurs, you know, and global. So of course, some have Hong Kong or some are just hustling entrepreneurs around the world. So, you know, I'm excited to talk about, I kind of cringe, but about receipts and, you know, accounting, bookkeeping, things like that. So thanks again for coming on and sharing with us.
Not at all. Happy to be here.
Sure. Can you introduce yourself and your business a little bit for us?
Absolutely. So my name's Michael Wood. I'm the founder of a business called Receipt Bank. And what Receipt Bank fundamentally is a bookkeeping application. So what we do is we help to collect your receipts, invoices, credit notes, any kind of cost document. You can take a photo of them with our iPhone app, Android app. You can email them to us. You can pop them in Dropbox. You can upload them directly from your website. As soon as we've got them, we extract the key data. That's clearly all available on our website, on our web application. But most importantly, that data can then be published directly into your accounting package, whether it be QuickBooks Online, Xero, Sage One, whatever it might be. So what we're just trying to do is really save you a lot of time.
Yeah, so I think a lot of us have this stress about receipts and what to keep and how to keep it and electronically filing it. So maybe first, I think it sounds obvious to me, but maybe we should just define receipt and just kind of get to the basics here.
Yeah, no problem. So you say it's basics, and what is a receipt? Actually, there isn't really a clear answer. So a rule of thumb, normally an invoice is someone asking for money ahead of payment, and a receipt is the acknowledgement of that payment.
Okay.
But the terms do get used in very blurred ways. And
yeah.
When you deal with the millions of different receipts and invoices that we do at Receipt Bank, you see some suppliers call their documentation invoice receipts and things like that. So there isn't really sort of hard and fast definitions. The thing that really matters is when you're a small business, it doesn't really matter which country you're in around the world, the tax authorities of that country are going to want proof of your expenditure. And so whether it's an invoice asking for the money in advance or a receipt, the money already paid, that is the proof that they need to know that the expenditure of the business was true. So what happens is all tax authorities around the world ask at the very, very minimum that every cost be logged in the books. And the vast majority also ask for the supporting evidence, to be able to see the supporting receipt or invoice behind that transaction.
Got it. So I think a lot of times, I'm afraid to almost be on recording saying this, but I think a lot of times I deal with invoices. I don't even send, when I send someone an invoice to pay me, they pay me by bank transfer, for example. And then, and then I don't send them like confirmation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It tends to be around the transaction. Clearly, if you're buying a coffee in Starbucks, the transaction is so instantaneous, they just do a receipt. Whereas, as you say, if you're doing some serious work for a client, you've normally agreed the payment and agreed the amount, and the payment will follow sometimes later. And so an invoice is appropriate. And, you know, from a perspective, they are effectively interchangeable, and they are both suitable proof of the transaction.
Okay, I feel a little bit better now. Cool. So I think, let's not say I am bad at it, but I think there's a lot of listeners that are not good at keeping up and maybe fall a little bit behind. You know, they have these stacks of papers they might keep in a folder or in their wallet, or, you know, email receipts coming in from like domains and hosting packages. What is there any hope for these people?
Definitely. I used to be one. I think it's worth talking about online or cloud accounting at this point, because, as you say, so many small businesses let the paperwork accumulate, or the emails accumulate, the receipts, the invoices, they pile up in a stack. And it's never, although it's been... it's been a frustration, an issue, a waste of time, it hasn't typically impacted business performance too much. But cloud accounting, and I mentioned some of the applications earlier, really is an incredible development. And for any small business listening, I absolutely would suggest you get yourself into the cloud for your accounts. And the reason is for the first time ever, the accounting information, your books, are suddenly becoming a document that's valuable to you, the business owner, as opposed to a document that was valuable to your accountant and the tax man. So historically, most businesses around the world, they had to do accounts, they had to use their accountant, and they had to give the accounts to the tax authorities. And it was all happening months after the end of the period, the end of the year. So the data was very uninteresting. With cloud accounting, we all have the opportunity to bring that data to basically live, you know, at least, you know, within several days of being live. And so suddenly it gives you the ability to get a whole lot of KPIs that you've never had for your business. Now, I've been a small business in the past, and the only KPI that most small businesses are looking at is the bank balance. And they're looking at the bank balance, and they're doing some arithmetic in their heads around money in and money out. But cloud accounting really does, not only does it give you that data in a much more solid way, but it also gives you the ability to look at other KPIs, look at other analysis. And the reason I really started Receipt Bank was realizing that when in this world, when that data can be real and you can get competitive advantage by having that data, you can run your business better by having that data, then having a pile of receipts or a pile of invoices sitting on your desk, on your bedside table, in the pocket of your jeans, wherever it might be, suddenly becomes a real issue and a real impediment to running your business. You know, it is becoming a more and more expensive habit to have a pile of invoices or a pile of receipts sitting around.
Totally. Wow. It's interesting. Like, so a real-time KPI, I guess you would see where your money is being spent, right? Like, classifying. Yeah,
you absolutely can. And the information is being used in all sorts of exciting ways. So cloud accounting really has been around for about 5 years in a meaningful way now. And the next stage we're just entering, you know, and this is something already millions of businesses around the world are already taking advantage of. This is not, you know, a left field or exotic thing to do. This is becoming mainstream very quickly. And the next stage of cloud accounting is the banks and financial institutions are beginning to plug into these live, your live books to make dynamic lending decisions. So instead of the old days of going to the bank to get an overdraft or loan for your business, and that period taking typically weeks and certainly involving appointments and lots of forms and, again, distractions from running your business, financial institutions are going to be able to make these decisions pretty much instantaneously. I know one institution makes it within 30 seconds. They're constantly interrogating your books live. And giving you, again, that advantage. And that's just one example of sort of what's coming down the line. You really, really don't want your books to be something that's sitting in Excel, something that is, you know, scattered across the paperwork on your desk. You want it to be in the cloud. You want it to be live because there are so many advantages to be had, not least saving your time.
Sure. Sure, I totally agree. So you mentioned some of these like QuickBooks and Xero, but I do global business, and I remember when I don't want to pick on any of these companies, but it seems like whenever it gets out of US dollar denominated transactions, it becomes really expensive and complicated or not possible. So I deal with all kinds of currencies and in Hong Kong, and you know you're in the UK or.
So Receipt Bank, we are based in Canada, America, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand. It's where we have offices. Amazing.
So yeah, you deal with a lot of currencies. Yeah. So I guess I'm really curious about that because I have still trouble. I guess I have to convert everything to Hong Kong dollars now in Hong Kong. But you know, I think that's also a struggle that some of our listeners have is this multi-currency accounting.
Sure. I think there's no question. As soon as your business is multi-currency, it adds a degree of complexity. I'd absolutely say that the cloud products we're talking about, they absolutely can deal with it. The two types of multi-currency business I really think of is there's, I think, pretty much 100% of the world's businesses now incur costs in multi-currency. That may not be true for some businesses in the US, but I think for any business outside of the US, that's pretty much true now. Just because, you know, you may have a subscription to MailChimp or Zendesk or any one of these incredibly popular cloud services, Dropbox, whatever it might be. And it's so common now to get these services and be buying these services in US dollars as well as your local currency. So I'd say most businesses incur costs in a multi-currency way. And one of the things we've done at Receipt Bank is not only do we take these invoices and receipts, extract the data, we will convert the currency back to your home currency, whatever it will be. So that's easily dealt with. The greater complexity absolutely comes when you start to sell in multi-currency. And then you definitely need to have a version of accounting software that can deal with multi-currency. And as I say, the cloud products can totally do with it. It could totally deal with it. Often a slightly more expensive version of the package, and possibly a little more complexity. But it doesn't really matter if it's going to be cloud accounting or old-fashioned desktop accounting. You're always going to need a package that can deal with multi-currency if that is what your business does.
Sure. Okay. So how often, I guess it depends on the size of your business, but what do you think about how often somebody should maybe check in their receipts or balance the books maybe, or is that different things?
Yeah, it's definitely a different thing. I think there's no question the best workflow and what we try to help our clients around the world do is to get out of the perspective of catching up. Because we've all been there. We've all been there. I'm either catching up for a VAT period or a GST period or another kind of tax period, or I'm catching up for a whole year. And there's no question that is not helpful. You've suddenly got this huge overhang of cost on your business. And indeed, if that's coming out your business and back into your pocket, you've got this huge deficiency in your pocket. So what we've tried to do at Receipt Bank is absolutely give you the tools so you submit the cost as and when it's incurred. So you can, you know, pay for the restaurant bill and instantly take a photo with the iPhone app of the receipt and it's submitted and dealt with. You can speak to your regular suppliers and give them your unique email address. So instead of sending the invoice to you and it sits in your inbox waiting for attention, it goes straight into your Receipt Bank account. You still get alerted, so you still know all about it, but it's already on its way into your books. And there's no question that is by far the most efficient way to deal with it. One, because you get the advantage of the data is there in your books. You can be refunded quicker. Your business is more up to date. But also it just does incur less time. You're avoiding this situation of having to give up a Sunday afternoon or an hour at the end of the day or whatever it is to deal with it, a task. So we definitely try to help people. And we do see people with the tools we've given them, quickly migrating to just dealing with them on a much more live basis.
Cool. Yeah, it definitely sounds good. So sometimes people try to outsource some of this, like, of course, Philippines is a common one, or India. Would that still be, you need that still, or is that also needed if there's, you know, these cloud receipts and cloud accounting, or is there still like a manual process on our side needed?
So you definitely still need an accountant or bookkeeper, or if not both. There's still someone needs to manage your books and someone needs to produce your year-end accounts. But you want to be smart in who you're choosing. You don't want to be paying anyone anymore for data entry. Your online accounting package should be pulling your bank statements live every day out of your bank into your accounts. It's madness to pay someone to be doing that. Equally, Receipt Bank will pull all the data off your receipts and invoices and put it into your online accounts. It's madness to be paying someone to do that manually. So there's no question, there's absolutely still a requirement for someone to manage your books, and there's absolutely still a requirement for someone to produce your accounts. But the phrase I really like to sum it up is accounting and bookkeeping has now moved from data entry into data management. So if you're paying someone somewhere for data entry, you're wasting money. If you're paying someone to manage the data and give you valuable insights into what's happening in your business and to produce the required legal documents, that's still a sensible thing and a required thing to do.
Clear. That's a good way to look at it. So there's, of course, the discussion of the physical paper, like the restaurant receipt. You know, I used to work in Wall Street, and, you know, there would be every day, like, going to the secretary with your expenses from the night before and the bar receipts and the dinners.
And Mike, was there any embarrassment as you're handing those over?
Yeah,
were they particularly large expenses?
Sometimes around the holidays was when it got really a little bit out of control, but one of the perks of Wall Street. But, you know, I guess, I mean, I'm trying to think now, that was quite a few years ago. What, you know, do we need these papers still? I mean, whether it's the short term or the long term of your business, how does that paper actually fit into everything?
So for a small business, the tax authorities around the world, doesn't matter what country you're in, they need the supporting evidence. They need to know the transaction happened. You can't just say in your books, I spent $1,000 on this. There you go. Tax authorities around the world will reserve the right to say, okay, let me have a look at that invoice to receipt so I know you did spend that money. And so you absolutely do need always supporting evidence. What you don't need is paper. So most of the tax authorities around the world have updated their laws to accept scans, to accept digital receipts and invoices, as well as paper. And they're just acknowledging reality, because we all know in business, if a tax authority came and said, well, I need to see the paper for everything, it just doesn't exist. You know, again, we talked about things like subscriptions to, or well, purchases from airlines or purchases from Amazon or subscriptions to Salesforce. All these things, they're just produced digitally. So the paper so frequently doesn't exist. So it's very, very rare now that paper is required, but supporting evidence is. So what we do at Receipt Bank is, as well as extracting the data, clearly we're storing the scanned image, the digital image you've given us. And again, we're normally, as well as passing the data into your accounting system, we're passing the image file there as well. So you have the supporting evidence required if the taxman ever comes knocking.
Great. I wonder about, like, I sign contracts online through these contract signing services. So it's, you don't need to actually keep the physical signed paperwork, but a lot of times they'll actually almost take some, I don't want to call it liability, but they will say that they keep the IP address that it came from. They'll keep, the user login. So to make it almost binding by as much as they can with additional supporting, I guess I call it evidence that this was a real person that says they are who they are, where they are, you know. So what I'm thinking here was these receipts, you would keep track of, I mean, would, if the account, if like say that government wanted a receipt copy, would I be able to just push it them to the cloud, or would I still have to like pull it down from the cloud?
Yeah, so it can be pulled down as a PDF. So you can go into Receipt Bank and say, you know, pull down all the documents from January this year, and it'll sort of produce a PDF. There they all are. Equally, we know we've had tax inspectors around the world come to the offices of our clients, and they do absolutely say, okay, there's Receipt Bank and there's our cloud accounting package. Interrogate away, you know, just pop in the searches. And there's some fantastic anecdotes of, you know, previously these inspections might last a day and suddenly they last 15 minutes because when the inspector sees, you know, everything's there, everything's in order, there's not going to be much point in him just sort of sitting doing alternative searches all day because clearly this business has got its affairs in order.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, I'll put a side joke here. Like a friend of mine had a pretty serious audit, and he would tell me that when it's happened to him a couple of times, and he would take a garbage bag of his receipts and give it to him and mail it because he says that they actually still have to go through. Maybe this is old, but I mean it was a few years ago. But he says that they'd have to go through it anyway, so he might as well just give them in a garbage bag. So I
can understand the thing. The trouble is, I think from my understanding, is what the tax inspectors are looking for is they're looking for signs of disorganization. And the disorganization is a suggestion the business is disorganized and hence won't have paid sufficient tax. So though the garbage bag probably gave your friend some feeling of satisfaction, yeah, actually, it guaranteed that they went through every one. Whereas when it's all in the cloud, you know, completely indexed, filed against the transaction with the supporting evidence, the image alongside it, clearly that sort of uber organization. And, you know, the taxman isn't going to waste his time just going through each and every one.
Sure. I'm just kind of a little bit of a, it's kind of a joke. It's a joke there, but it's true. I mean, unless he was joking with me, but he seems like the kind of person that would do that. So,
I absolutely know these kind of things.
All right. I'm a little bit curious. You kind of hinted towards it already, but maybe give us some background on the business, Receipt Bank, how and when it started. And
sure. So, I was running a small business, very like I'm sure many of your listeners do, and this was around 2007. I'd started the business, and over 3 years, I've been using a cloud accounting package, and I'd had sort of many of the benefits of that. But I realized that I was ending up doing a lot of data entry of these receipts and invoices. And the way I'd had my affair set up, I only had to do it once a year, but I was basically losing a weekend every year. My accountant would pick up the phone to me and say, Michael, you've got to get everything in order. It's time for your books. And I'd lose a weekend when that phone call came. And I hugely resented the wasted time. And in spending that time, what I'd also find is I was losing a lot of money because my own disorganization meant I'd lost receipts, I'd lost various things. And so I felt, as well as losing all that time, I was losing, well, at least £1,000 a year in lost or forgotten cost items that I then couldn't find. So I looked around for a solution, came across a business in the UK called Receipt Farm. Receipt Farm had a very simple solution. They would post out an envelope every month. The client would put the receipts into the envelope, send it back. They would scan them. They'd extract the data, and voila, it would all be there in the cloud. It could be downloaded as a CSV file, etc. Which is fantastic. So I took out the trial. Absolutely loved what they did. But then, having sort of gone through the whole process, and they did exactly what they said they'd do, it was a fantastic, it was so much better than where I was, I realized the problem wasn't entirely solved because the data was still residing in Receipt Farm and hadn't gone into my accounting package. And equally, my accountant couldn't access my Receipt Farm account. So therefore, although everything was much more elegantly organized, I hadn't actually got rid of all the work. And so I wrote into the customer service of Receipt Farm and said, you know, love what you're doing, guys, but are you going to do these two things? Are you going to use APIs so the data can flow directly from Receipt Farm into cloud accounting packages? And equally, are you going to give my accountant access or enable me to give my accountant access? And they wrote straight back, fantastic customer service experience, in 2 minutes saying, Mr. Wood, thank you very much for your email and your suggestions, but we're closing down today.
Wow.
So I wrote back and said, well, can I buy it? And that's how Receipt Bank started. So in 2010, we started. We needed sort of 6 months to update the software, make the changes we wanted. And we opened for business in 2011. And we've just grown incredibly quickly ever since. So we work both with small businesses directly, but also with thousands of accountants and bookkeepers around the world, providing the Receipt Bank service to them so they can provide it to their clients. Because we're just in the business of, you know, trying to help all these businesses become more efficient. We know this is a waste of time. We know it's a sink for time. And our job is to help.
Wow, that's really, I didn't expect such a cool story. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be people that need your service. I usually don't like advertising too much on the show, but I guess I'm asking you, like, how does pricing work? And
so, as I say, we've got the different offices around the world. So, we sell in many different currencies. It depends on the size of the business, the number of documents, and things like that. But a rough rule of thumb is it's about $15 a month is a sort of a rule of thumb if we sort of use that as a benchmark for the different operations around the world. So as I say, very, you know, not trying to be an expensive item, just trying to give you that time back for an insignificant cost.
Yeah, that sounds great. And then you're going to get the app and you can take pictures when you're at the nightclub in Wall Street. And
and we see that. We see the images. We see the blurry images at the back of taxis at 2 a.m. And we see the sort of the scanned documents. You know, you get a good sort of feel of the different types of things that happen.
Yeah, some alcohol spilled on one of them. And interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. So maybe unless you have any do you have any recommendations for people? I mean, maybe to get started, is what would you recommend somebody that's maybe a few months behind on their, and trying to get started?
So the thing I'd say is clearly, you know, we can help deal with sort of someone who's a few months behind. The key thing I really would say is I'd go back to my earlier point of, if you're a small business anywhere in the world, cloud accounting and a service like Receipt Bank really do transform your bookkeeping. It stops you wasting time on it, but more importantly, unlocks all sorts of new possibilities for your business. So if anyone out there is still dealing with spreadsheets, if anyone out there is still dealing with desktop software, I really would urge you to look into this, because it really does allow you, gives you a whole lot of time back, And there will be a whole lot of other advantages to your business by getting your books in the cloud.
Sure.
So that would be my thing. You know, I wouldn't be sitting here selling Receipt Bank. It's the whole thing. You want your finances in the cloud.
So they would still, of course, need, like you said, you mentioned a couple service providers like QuickBooks or Xero, and then your service too, to get the receipts to them like as easily as possible. And this is great. So how can people reach out to you and your business?
So the best way is online. We're at receipt-bank.com. And clearly we're sort of on Twitter at Receipt Bank and on Facebook Receipt Bank and all sorts of things like that. I don't think we're too difficult to find.
Cool.
And so, you know, you can take out a free trial, try it out online. And equally, we have teams and sort of customer service always happy to answer anyone's questions as well.
Awesome. Okay, Michael, thank you so much for sharing. And we'll link it up on the notes too. So
excellent. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, Michael, for coming on the show and sharing. I hope that made some people more aware and rest a little bit easy about taking control of their business receipts and expenses and invoices. So I feel a little bit better too. So, and I appreciate everybody for tuning in to the Global from Asia show. I'm having a lot of fun doing this, and we have some great shows coming up. I still haven't decided next week's topic, but we have some on file here about Hong Kong business, of course, about travelers. So there, you know, where to go if you're visiting Hong Kong for a few days on business, some tips and tricks on that. Also, we're going to talk about business and health insurance choices. Some people that have gone through Braintree merchant account already, the Hong Kong founder story. Some people's just getting started. I've been mentoring at Founder Institute and got a lot of good teams there to talk to. Just lots of good stuff. And I also appreciate any kind of feedback on the show, topics, the style, the structure. Well, my corny jokes aren't really funny, or anything you will like or don't like. Even if they're not so nice, I will listen, and I always try to improve the show. So enjoy the rest of your week and talk soon. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.